Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the Riverdale After Show, we're breaking down Season 3, Episode 10, The Stranger. Archie returns to Riverdale, the Gargoyle King revealed, and who shot Hiram Lodge. We're going to break it all down next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
There we go. Look at that. What a way to welcome Archie Andrews right back to Riverdale. Everybody, this panel's incredibly full on this new episode of the Riverdale After Show, breaking down every episode of Riverdale airing Wednesday nights there on the CW. I'm Frank Moran.
Hello, guys. I'm Sam Davidson, and I'm in the live chat. So keep on chatting. There's a lot to talk about.
Hey there. I'm Elena Jordan, and I'm excited to be a part of the panel.
Yes.
Hi, guys, I'm Zach Peter, and I'm also excited to be joining the panel.
This is very exciting.
Yes, finally. I know we've had some struggles throughout the season, various combinations of twos and threes, but look at this. Now we're four strong once again.
Yes.
Four strong. Full right. Riverdale, full party. Party like your life depends on it.
True.
Now, before we hop into everything in particular, we'll be, of course, breaking down the episode. We'll do our class president, class clown. We'll do a little bit of news as well at the end of the episode. But before we hop into it, since we've got two new members to our panel, Elena and Zach. So, Elena, we're starting with you. Give us your Riverdale passions, your enthusiasm, your background. What do you love about the show? What frustrates you?
I love the show. I grew up with Archie being kind of my gateway comic, so I just was super excited a few years back when I even heard that it was being made, and it has not disappointed. I am very excited. And it's funny, too, because a lot of people who are diehard fans of the comics, like the original old ones, are like, wow, it just, they updated it and it's so off the rails. And I'm like, you guys forget that in the comics, like at one point everybody were zombies. Like, they still have a ways they can go. They can take this to crazy, crazy heights. And I hope they do.
Me too.
Zach, about yourself.
I just love the show. I love the CW. So I love like hunky teen abs and like, well, not teen abs, but like teen shows that like have hot guys with abs and like all of the drama. And it's very, it's juicy. I started watching the show last year and I like binged it in 2 weeks because I loved it. And I watched the second season, and now I'm, like, hooked. So I'm excited for what they have in store this season.
Zach, I like it because I love talking about the abs, and I felt like once Ben left, that was going to really reduce my ab talk, so now I'm excited.
Now you got more ab talk.
Yes, I'm excited.
More ab lab.
You might have even more, so this is really good for you.
That's right. Thank goodness. As always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and, of course, as Sam mentioned, she's got the chat up and running, so everybody's already in there sharing some thoughts.
Oh, yeah. I've been talking to them for, like, 2 hours. At this point.
So. Love it. Love it. So before we break down the episode in detail, real quick, around the room, starting with you, Zach, overall, what were your thoughts?
I loved last week, and I was so excited after the tale, the roller coaster we had from the last season, but I was so disappointed with this week because I couldn't keep up. Like, it was just way too wild for me. There were too many twists and turns. I wasn't into Archie with the dark hair, and, like, somebody that colors his hair, like, I know it's not easy to switch from red to dark to red again in one episode, so I was not buying it. Not buying it, but I was all there for the abs.
You're saying it was almost too much to bear?
Oh, but
what a punny nice joke.
Wow. I felt like last episode I enjoyed more than this one. I think that this one had some pacing issues. It was just a lot of information, kind of quick cut, whereas some of my favorite episodes, I think, spent a little bit more time on each storyline. But at the same time, this one felt like there was so much going on that we only got little snippets of each, and I want more Cheryl. I'm like,
no Cheryl.
No Cheryl, no Josie. Cheryl. I'm like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
And unnecessary, like, plot twists and, like, exaggerations that I just feel like we didn't need to cram into one episode.
There were some things that did, it just felt a little abrupt. Well, and I think that was the
bringing
issue.
Back Betty's dad, stop. Stop. Yeah. Leave him in the last season.
Well, okay, so I thought the episode was abrupt and was fast, it made no sense. It was like a writer at UCLA Extension or something. It's like, I'm going to do, which no, I took the writing program there, like, no qualms with them, but I'm going to do a spec script on Riverdale where I just change everything. And it did not line up with last week at all.
No.
They led us up to something that they just, you know, farted out on. I mean, this has happened twice with Jughead and with Fangs, and it's really not cool to pretend like a character is dead and make us, and it's just, do it once. Don't continue to do it to all of our characters. I'm pretty angry. I'm not happy with
it. It was like a bad one-night stand on acid, where, like, you don't know what the heck happened, and by the end of it, you're like, did I get, like,
was
did somebody hit me? Like, what happened? Like, you have no idea. You're like, you have whiplash. You're like, I went into this ready to, like, have an orgasm, and I don't know what the heck happened.
How do you follow that up, Frank?
That's true. That is true. I will not. I will not even attempt to try to top that one. So without further ado, we'll break down the episode in detail, starting with the man of the hour, Archie Andrews. Survives that bear mauling, barely, which just seemed weird at the end of There you go. Seemed weird at the end of the last episode. I mean, he's sitting there with his eyes open on the bed, and then we just cut to, oh, I'm already done, and I'm fine, and I'm walking back to Riverdale.
That's what was weird. I'm like, where'd you get those scars? I'm like, shouldn't it be, where did you get those gaping open wounds in your chest? Yeah. Like, how
are you alive?
Yeah.
I mean, what happened there? I felt like it was Pulp Fiction or something. And they, what did they do? Like, stab him with adrenaline? He wasn't on drugs. Like, how did he just survive a bear attack? And his eyes were open, and he was dead. I am really hope they follow this one up. And Riverdale writers, I do think they listen and they watch. Please fix this. Do not leave us hanging like all the other things. You go, oh, we're just not going to address it. You better freaking address it.
I don't think they're going to address it.
I don't think so either. I think they address it by just being like 8:47 on a Wednesday, Archie died. But by that, I mean his red hair for a little bit.
And those scars were like 8 months healed. Like there was like some bio oil and some vitamin E that had been rubbed on that because they were like... like old scars. They weren't even fresh.
No, it was all healed up.
There were no stitches. Yeah.
For time travel, I mean, I don't even know what to expect at this point. I do have hope, and I'm always just like a believer that they're going to do some flashback and we're going to see some supernatural stuff going on to have brought him back to life. And then Sabrina will have been there. And then that'll be the crossover episode. I have faith.
I would love that.
That would be amazing.
I would like to know the physical geography of this because we have Riverdale in Canada. And Veronica does make a statement later. He goes, he walked all the way back from Canada. Like, is that far? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm like, is that like 8 months of healing? Like, was that, like a Forrest Gump scenario that like...
I mean, did he cross Sweetwater River? I have these, you know, I'm like, whatever happens over that river, it just changes things. So
but then it felt like they were just like, but all of these other things are happening now, so forget about that because the SATs. And I'm like, what? You, bears. Yes.
So, yeah, Archie finds himself back, and I guess it's just reacclimating back to Riverdale life, which is not as easy as he thinks it would be. You've got the SATs, you got reuniting with Veronica, you've got dealing with how he's going to deal with Hiram. So all these things are kind of playing on Archie's mind, and he doesn't seem to do very well trying to acclimate. So by the end, he just makes his bedroom just like a cell, as Fred describes it.
I need to say, though, there's something, I don't remember what it was exactly that has happened similar to this. It's like someone's been running for a long time from something, and then all of a sudden they give up and they go, I'm just going to go back to the way it was before, which is what you were running from. Like, nothing has changed. So him just coming back, like, whatever. He was running for his life because he thought he was going to die.
His hair changed.
But then he changed it back.
It was a bad choice. Like, keep the fire crotch. Like, I don't like the dark hair.
I mean, nothing has changed. What's the point?
Like, yeah.
It did seem like it was to come back full circle to, I mean... I don't know.
So what, he grew up here and is like, past. Screw you, I'm not afraid of you.
Whole dream scene last week was like him realizing that he needs to take down Hiram Lodge. So I think this was his way of coming back and like doing that, but he didn't realize all the baggage that was going to come with coming back to Riverdale.
I think that's part of the issue was that this episode kind of touched on that. Like it seemed like their whole theme of this was, you know, you had pretty much given up the fight and... tucked your tail and ran away. But now you're coming back to really be in the throes of it and, you know, go back to, you know, the teenager who started multiple vigilante groups. Like, get into it. Be like a fighter. Like, Veronica mentions it where she's like, I thought you were going to stay and fight for me and you didn't. And it's like they kind of allege, but to me it just seems like his friends were being douchebags. Like, I'm like, he's gone for a long time. He's finally back. He's been through hell. And everyone's like, doesn't seem very jolly. He's ordering a root beer float, and that's weird. His hair's different. I don't know if I can get on board with this, Archie. I think I might just need to keep banging your girlfriend. And, like, I'm just like, what?
I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, because it was like about 4 weeks that he and Jughead were on the lam, and then it's about 5 weeks for the quarantine. So we say that's like 9 weeks, and then whatever amount of healing time happened from that bear mauling to when he shows back up in Riverdale for his car seal all up. So, I don't know, maybe 3 months?
I don't really think it was that long. And why wouldn't it say 3 months later? I mean, clue us in. I'm angry.
And that's a pretty quick time for, like, Veronica to find a new man.
Yeah.
Like, I get it if it was, like, a what do they call that? Rebound? Mm-hmm. If it was, like, a rebound screw. But, like, she's, like, now dating him and, like, has totally ditched Archie. I was like, that's... She was, like, totally in love with him, and now she's moved on.
It also is kind of, like, a D-bag move, I think, even to Reggie to just, like, not text him back
while
you're banging Archie in the library. Yeah. It's like, you know, just a heads up to people. Like, quick text. Like, oh, Archie's back. Like, sorry.
You
know, like,
jocks
something.
Share things.
Well, I mean,
they
I guess
share Gatorade and girlfriends.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think I guess back in junior year of high school, I mean, I guess when emotions and situations seem much more
hormones.
Yes, hormones are all riled up and much more important. Maybe you accelerate these things. So 3 months can seem like, oh, an eternity. So what?
I mean, that's like first semester, you know?
Yeah. Like, how could you expect to be just waiting around for this guy to come back?
I mean, I guess.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, someone in the chat just external. Shockwave 3, Sam is triggered. I don't know why, but I am. I really am. I'm triggered because they have faked too many deaths on the season, and I cried. And then they're like, just kidding. So please stop doing
that.
But
I mean, I feel like that's basically anything that's based in comics.
But they're not vampires. Like, they don't have any supernatural abilities, so I say I'm not okay with it. Okay. Anyways.
And Archie's death was, like, so fast. It was like we opened up the scene. Archie died. And then, like, 2 seconds later, we have a scene with him walking into Riverdale.
Jack Kerouac.
I was like, I thought he just died. Like, I'm still processing that emotion.
It's weird because we had so many episodes of him on the road with Jughead or admiring Hiram. And then just one episode, we just ram all this stuff right through. And you're like, boy, this seemed really quick. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stuff to try to jam into one episode.
Yeah. All right. We've talked crap about that enough. I mean, it's true, though. It's all very true.
Well, true. Yeah. But Sam.
Yes. We also, though, we love Riverdale. Don't ever give up on us. We will still be here. I will be here till this last dying day just because I like commitment, you know? But before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to thank you guys for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. And for us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us and doing what we love. So don't forget to tell your friends and keep on enjoying our shows. And we just rate us on iTunes, give us a thumbs up, comments. We really, really love it. And even though we hate on the show sometimes, it's true. We still love talking about it. And it's almost just as fun to crap on it sometimes as it is to love it. So let us know what you guys think.
Let's, because it relates to Archie, I just wanted to touch on what you all think about it. What I feel is like a continually underused character, and that's Fred Andrews.
Yeah.
So earlier this season when Archie was framed and he and FP and the sheriff were going to like, we're going to find these guys. We're going to bring them to justice. We're going to rescue Archie. That went nowhere. And then we see Fred coming in to Hiram's and says, you lay a hand on Archie, I will kill you and not feel bad about it at all. But I feel like there's nothing's going to happen with that as well.
I agree. I feel like they keep setting up where they're like, Fred is super supportive. He's a great dad. Like, he's the foil to all of these other parent characters that you're seeing and all of these other troubled relationships. Like, this is the one. This is the rock. But instead of having him actually do anything, he's just like the one. It feels like he's the coach in a boxing movie who's just like standing on the side like, you got this, kid. Here's some water. And then it's just like, don't focus on him at all for the rest of the scene. Like, I agree. I feel like he's underutilized.
Which is a shame. Luke Perry, you keep him on the sidelines? Come on now.
Yeah, he's a badass.
We still has Dylan him. In him, and yes. he wants to live out those 90210 bad boy days.
I mean, he's ready for it. We really want him to. Also, it just reminds me, where the heck is Archie's mother? Like, you should be home. You should be trying to find your son. I don't care what the F you're off doing, Molly Ringwald. Like, this is
She's trying to reboot 16 candles. She's trying to make 47 candles happen.
Well, you know what? That's fine. Recast her. Give us another redheaded woman. I don't care. It makes no sense his mother is not there to try to find him, to try to help. Her son is just left into the wild. She doesn't care. I don't understand.
I don't think it would be that she doesn't care. I feel like it's if it's been so long that his scars are like healing that it's probably assumed that she was looking.
No, but I hear like I think like if your son had like been had gone out of a town that's now quarantined and like that's where they were living, like, or even like she was so involved in the trial that for her to just kind of disappear, like, no wonder he has issues.
I don't know. I think she's a little too involved in the trial. I'm like, get a different lawyer.
That's guys. Her son.
It's too close. Too close to it. Like,
I would have been happy at least with a conversation, a phone call, where we could just see Fred, you know, at least acknowledging that he's
text
talking to
messages.
Her.
Text messages. We don't need her voice. Text. What's going on? Where is he? I'm out looking too. Like, nothing.
That's in true. Chicago, they should have at least given like a heads up.
Well, maybe she's not in Chicago. I don't know. But
I mean, he was in Canada. He could be like, I mean, it's not like he's hanging out like outside of Riverdale. He's like, I'm walking whatever distance it is from Canada to here.
I just kind of hate her now. I honestly am like, you're the worst. I get that Molly, the actress, you know, she's busy. Give us something.
So now you're putting her on trial.
Yes, I am. And it makes me think she's connected to everything because why has she stayed so far away?
She's the Gargoyle King.
That's true.
Crack the code.
That's true. Well, Zach, speaking of the Gargoyle King, we do find out who is behind the mask so far. Whether that's been the only person behind the mask this season, we don't know yet, but they exposed it to be Tallboy. Somebody we all thought was dead. You don't buy it,
Zach. I don't buy it.
Tallboy's not smart enough.
No. Tallboy is like the fall guy. Like, he was intentionally planted there because Hiram Lodge is trying. I don't think Hiram Lodge is the real Gargoyle King. I think there's like a twist that they're going to throw in probably later this season on how the Gargoyle King is like actually made up. I don't think Hiram Lodge is the only one involved. But the Tallboy was definitely like the fall guy for this episode.
So Tallboy is the fall boy?
Yeah.
There you go. Was that a satisfying reveal, though, to see Tallboy underneath the mask? Or like, I thought he was
underwhelmed.
Yeah, okay. Same.
I never cared about him in the first place. I still don't. So,
well, like, to bring him back died. And be like, and then to just kill him off again. Like, they're like, he's dead. No, he's back. No, but he's dead now, though. It's like,
but for real now.
Why? Why? Like, just, I mean, I get the whole thing of like, with the juxtaposition of Hiram being like, I'm always a step ahead. Like, there's always, I know who to send in front of me, which seems like, as you're saying, probably a little foreshadowing of, you know, him doing the same thing with Claudius that he probably did with Tallboy, where it's like,
yeah,
send this person in my stead. But there seems like there is something else going on and there's somebody else like pulling strings. So having Tallboy is just, it didn't seem like he was the actual Goblin King. Like, it was like, this is who you send in.
Yeah. We need to have a segment, I want, where it's just like Sam's crazy-ass theories of the episode.
No,
last
week,
you know, I claimed, I was like, Archie's Jesus. They're just going to bring him back from the dead, and then he's just going to be a saint. That was not true. But I'm thinking Hiram is obviously working for someone, and it's like the devil. It's literally the devil. There's always a devil worship, and he is one of, you know, it's just like he's his top guy, but even Hiram doesn't know who he's working for.
And that's how they tied it to Sabrina.
Yes. I really want a connection here, you guys. I'm really just picking at straws.
They need to make that happen.
I would love it.
Well, they're like messing with us. Roberto is messing with us, and he wants people like me that watch way too much television and really want this to happen to just be going off with these crazy theories. So if anyone has any...
Now I just want
any...
like Hiram laying in bed and just have like the devil come in and just like dun-dun close up. What the hell? The cut to black. Next week, Archie.
Yeah. And then it's just like nothing. It's like, what happened to Hiram?
That's right. Well, speaking of other bad guys, we've got Claudius, as you were mentioning there. So he shows up as well, which I feel like another underused character. I mean, Twin brother of Clifford, you know, okay, great. But we've never really seen much of him, even from last season.
Either do something with him or get rid of him. But, like, this, like, putting him in as a filler character, like,
they set
underwhelming.
Up a whole thing that, a whole, oh, my yeah. God, I can't believe
he
it.
He has a twin, yeah.
And he's sleeping with, was he sleeping with, I mean, Penelope sleeps with everyone, so I can't remember yeah. if he was sleeping with her.
Probably,
but I think
sure.
I remember them kissing or something, and it was a big reveal. I don't know. But, yeah, underused.
I feel like, yeah, it's the same thing again, where they have this character that they're like, oh, but he's dead too. Like, he and Tallboy both, we brought in some characters you don't really care about, but they're gone now, so don't worry about it. And it's like, well, just doing that twice in one episode yeah. doesn't make it more impactful.
And I feel
if anything, it just takes
like,
away.
They yeah. brought back three ridiculous characters that they did not need to bring back. Tallboy, Claudius, and Betty's dad. Like, these are three characters that I thought we had, like, moved on from. Like, they're, like, exes, like, you don't want to see again. Like, why do you want to deal with that? Like, move on and give me something new. Set up a new storyline. Like, I was so pissed with Betty's dad being introduced and, like, potentially being the Gargoyle King. That was, like, a really dumb setup. I thought it was a waste of these characters.
Well, I would feel like, especially with Hal and Tallboy, like, people that we thought we kind of reached an ending of their story
yeah.
on.
Mm-hmm.
But Claudius, there's been really nothing done with
yeah.
him. So to have him come back in this and then he's just killed off, we didn't really get any mileage out of that character.
No.
I mean, yeah. did they just not want to fire the actor and, like, felt bad?
No, I feel like it's a filler character that they want to bring in because it's a familiar character that we already know and have seen in the past, that it makes more sense to bring them in to introduce them to this piece, whatever their story arc they're trying to build, instead of introducing a whole new character. But, like, at this point, like, I don't, like, bring me a disposable character that you're going to introduce and kill off in one episode versus, you know, recycling old, you know, underwhelming characters.
Yeah, it seemed like they were just like, oh, well, Claudius, you're here just so we can say that if you're the sheriff, it's a dangerous position to be in. And if you end up dead by the end of this, and then we show later somebody else's sheriff, ooh, like, it just yeah. seemed like the, it felt like they were, like, fridging the dude. Like, it was weird. Like, I'm like, that's it. Like, why are you setting this character to kill off to have no real impact other than been like, don't forget, being the sheriff is kind of
it's
crappy
hard,
job.
Yeah.
I think
it's dangerous.
They're somehow all still playing the game, like, even the adults, which it doesn't make it, it's never going to make any sense, even when they reveal whatever the reason is. But they're just pawns in their own game. And Hiram is moving them. Like, we don't know why. But also, my other question, do you ever have to take a test to be a sheriff or any kind of qualification? You could just, like, have a gun and a badge and just go around
and just be
like,
sheriff.
Yeah. I feel like in this town, they're just like, look.
No rules.
Too many weird things have happened.
Yeah.
We're like,
no
we've
one wants
got
this
so
anymore.
Many odd serial killers.
You're willing
and,
to
like,
take the seat, then we'll give it to you.
Yeah, it's like there's a 17-year-old in charge of the local gang. Like, we just...
Yep.
Whoever's sheriff, it's fine.
And, sorry, what was it? Prison Mike?
Is he in prison currently?
I hope not. I mean, but he said he doesn't feel like he has any closure with Hal yet either. So maybe this
Hal is the boyfriend you don't get closure from that you just need to, like, block on Instagram.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like Hal... Because he had, like, two personalities last season. So
he had two,
like,
personalities this
yeah.
episode.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It felt like he was just, like, the kind of creepy guy with maybe just a little heart of gold at the end. I don't
no.
know. But he was just, like,
don't
last
give
season.
Him that much
I wouldn't even give him that much, but you're right.
He's like,
but
that's right, Betty. Get an education. I was like, you literally were just threatening her.
Yeah.
Very confused.
To give you a board game, like...
If you survive my murder attempts, I want you to go to a good school and get a good scholarship.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you. You are my daughter. Just take on my murders, please. I mean, that's probably... Who knows?
Hell no.
Yeah, I mean, because considering
no.
for the first two seasons, we saw him talk like a normal dad.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, I'm like, well, I don't know why it got so Silent to the Lambs as soon as
yeah.
he showed up. Like, I was like, okay, we get it. Like, fava beans, Chianti, like, calm down, man. Like, bring me this manual and then I'll sign the affidavit. And
that did nothing.
That did nothing.
She,
like,
didn't get her money back.
Nope.
Yeah.
It was pointless.
And they were like, they just brought this in to be like, yes. yeah, your
she
mom
She bought
is
a convent. Like,
I will say I did like, though, just Betty's, like, and the delivery of just like, I'm just trying to go to college. Or I'm like.
Prison
legit,
Mike again
man.
Said, yes, but he was a better parent than Alice this episode. So let's be real.
Yes, he's in prison or.
I mean, Hal's a better parent right now than Alice
yeah.
is. And that is messed up.
That does suck really hard for like Betty that she's rocks. Like, I just want to, like, go to school and get an SAT, like, good grades and
he's like,
do
good
well
job,
on my
kid.
SAT. And
sure, you killed it.
Have a nice ponytail, and instead I'm having to worry about colt farms and
yeah. I mean, I was willing to give
dads.
Alice the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I know that the whole Edgar and the farm, very cultish for sure. But I felt like in some ways they did help Alice a little bit at the beginning of the season, at least be able to have some kind of a calmer relationship with Betty. But now it's just gone full tilt, where she's given away her college tuition. Towards this, like, how do you think this is a credit? You can study for free at the farm. Like, what?
Well, that, like, ruined Alice for me. I'm always rooting for Alice. I always think she's so smart. She has some secret plan. She's just making everything. No, Alice, this is messed up. She just gave away her daughter's college tuition. She is trying to literally throw her into a cult to educate her instead of college. That's awful. I'm never really going to like her again.
Yeah, I mean, not a fan.
She was hard to like at the beginning, and she's just like not made a solid case for herself.
But then she comes back around and you're like, I love Alice.
For like a moment though, but it's not enough to hook you.
It hooked yeah. me.
Would you all want everyone to hang out and just eat oatmeal raisin?
Somebody's going
to
sell you fizzle rocks.
That's true. Would you want to eat oatmeal raisin cookies and drink raw milk? Like that whole just seemed like
that was like a that's how you celebrate. Like I'm like, what a sad, sad life. Like what the hell, Alice? Like
there's
get it together.
Some fizzle rocks in there somewhere. You know, it's like no one's telling anybody.
I'm just like do? I don't. Let's celebrate the fact that we stole these nuns' homes by eating some oatmeal, right? I don't know.
And who wants
that
to go back
that the nuns
back
died
there?
In.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a terrifying place.
They committed suicide in, like
it was already scary, and yeah.
Well, we have Hiram, who says, hey, you know, we should get out of our old place. You know, we should take over the sisters. It could be our castle. And Hermione's like, ah, no, there, a bunch of nuns died there. And Hiram's thing is like, oh, we'll just get a blessing. It'll be fine. Like, what? That's gonna wipe away everything?
Like Come a on. Hazmat crew? I mean, you know, something. It's no one wants to live there. And like, what are they gonna do? They literally need to tear down and gut the entire thing to make it beautiful. No one wants to live in like a mental institution.
I mean, Cold Farm does.
I mean, good. They probably
New
should.
HQ.
They need it.
They belong
yeah.
in a mental institution.
I'm just wondering how it's going because they made a big point of like she's a reporter now. So it's like they're obviously going to tie that in with something about, you know, she gets some news that's going to come up later. But
I would
like
them to like take her away from this cult storyline and like make her the Riverdale like news reporter that
yeah.
like reports on all of these crazy happenings in Riverdale. Like
I kind of
that would be a good role for her.
Courtney Cox and Scream.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what it felt like to me. Like it felt
Write
very Scream. Like it felt like they were like, okay, we know that you guys like horror stuff. So here's a little nod to Scream. Here's a little nod to Silence of the Lambs. But it was like too much all at once where I'm like, okay, I get it. Like the guy in the mask could be a yeah. different guy in the mask because it's the same mask, but
it's
like,
confusing. It's too much. Again, one night stand on acid.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we'd see her be more like Courtney Cox and Scream next season because I feel like this
yeah.
season,
yeah.
whatever she's doing for the news station, it seems to be driven by Edgar and whatever mm-hmm. his agenda is going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has a lot of amends to make before Alice can get back in my good graces as one of my favorite Riverdale characters.
Oh.
But she has a strength in reporting that I could really see her shining as a Riverdale news reporter.
This
I'm
just
all for
in,
that story
I
line.
Totally screwed over my daughter's college plans.
Yeah. Go fund. Betty for college. That'd be sad.
What did everybody think of Jughead's leadership skills? Because there's been some questions like, oh, he's a 17-year-old and he's running the serpents. But how did you like his plan? You didn't like it. Why not, Sam?
I was so dumb. Guys, you just killed someone, basically. Let's throw a party. It's the best idea. That's all I have to say.
Well, it was a cover-up. I will fight Sam on this one and say that I actually think for a 17-year-old, he's not... Like, he's somewhat impressive. Like, if he were 25 or even 30, like, I would not be impressed. I would be totally with her on this one. But, I mean, for 17, like, that was a pretty... To throw a party to cover up the fact that they killed somebody. Like, okay, I get it.
I'll say of all the parties in this episode, that was the smartest party.
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh, hey, you desperately need to study for the SATs. Surprise, I'm here to sing to you in Spanish. It's like, okay, yeah, this one at least is for a reason.
And
like,
can
it's
we
like,
just say if... the way he ran out of that was a little racist?
You know, I don't mind when Veronica sings, but like this musical choice just seemed weird to me.
The whole thing was weird. Like, I was like, he's just got home. He's not feeling all right there. Like, his principal's telling him, like, you're probably going to have to repeat this year if you don't get it together. So, yeah, it's the same default where they're like, well, then let's throw a party. And then later on the same episode, they're like, we just killed a guy. What do we do?
Throw another party.
Why not?
Like, it was like the writer's montage of their favorite movies. Like, here's their Selena highlight. Like, they were just trying to highlight all of their
Exactly. Throwbacks. It was like, I have a good idea. Let's use yours. I mean, we haven't used an idea of yours in a long time. So, let's, sure. Okay, this is Riverdale. Anything can happen.
What's better than one party, but two parties, guys?
I wouldn't have wanted to have been at either, and I love parties.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, it's an alibi party, so it's like, okay, I'll give you that. Like, we couldn't have killed this
alibi
guy
party.
Because we were all here part. But I mean, just the super dramatic, like, party like your life depends on it. Like, that was my favorite line of the episode. It was just like, hell yeah, guy, have a tall boy for tall boy.
And at the end of it, we see the reveal that kind of ties into something that I know Sam and I have talked about for the longest time, is that FP is the new sheriff, but we see a scene with him and Hermione. And Hermione's like, wants to go ahead with the, like, now's a better, you know, no better time than now to kind of move forward with whatever we have in mind. So it feels like, yep.
The only strain of something I'm still holding on to as far as something they introduced to us at the end of the first season. And we had Marisol Nichols on, and she and Ben was like, you're the ringmaster. Like, you're the puppet master. You're doing all this. And she basically said yes. And then the next season, we saw her be totally weak. So I'm just hoping she really is truly behind all of this. I personally think that she shot Hiram or knows who did. But she's been planning this, and I mean, who better to be sheriff than Daddy FP?
There's a new sheriff in town.
Hell yeah, there is. Take your shirt off.
Yeah, that was like so hot, and like working out all my daddy issues just like came to the surface in that
last scene.
But I don't think, I'm hoping that Hermione kind of is showing that she's the mastermind behind everything, and I'm hoping that last season we didn't see her shine because she was lying low. Mm-hmm. But I think Hiram's actually behind his own shooting, and he did this intentionally. I'm hoping not to frame Archie again, but I think it was an inside job. Whether it was Hermione or Hiram, I'm not sure, but I think it was an inside job.
I thought you were about to be like, inside joke. I'm like, with who?
Well, speaking of Hermione, if you were to find out that she was really behind everything all along, and they just showed flashbacks of her kind of really pulling strings from behind the scenes, would that satisfy you enough? Or do you feel like you need to have seen Hermione doing some things along the way to make you really feel like, yeah, she's really kind of got a plan, and now she's executing it?
I have so much faith in her that I would be very pleased with just knowing that she, you know, was kind of running the mechanics behind the scenes.
I would like a little bit more. So, 'cause to me, then it feels too much like if they had gone way off the rails with this one and said that Betty's dad was actually the Goblin King too. The Gargoyle King too. Like, if that had been like an actual thing and not a lie and not like a big psych out, that's kind of how it would feel to me if they were like, and she was pulling the strings all along. And it's like, but how? Why? What? When? Where? Why? Huh?
Riverdale, like, does not give you that.
I would be, you know, this is one thing I'd say, great. It's probably just because I called it, or Ben. I mean, Ben called it. I just stole it from him. But, you know, I think I'd be okay with it. I would like to see a little montage. Tops, like, 1.5 minutes of her just like doing little things. It's like boom, 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 and then all of a sudden we're all supposed to understand.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something that is it was the end of season one, or I can't remember. Maybe it was season two. They thought Tallboy died, and they were at that motel, and Hermione kind of comes and she's like, kids, what are you doing? She was pissed. She's like, you're messing, it seems like she thought they were messing up her plan. Like, you guys are screwing everything up. Just shut up. And I remember Veronica was like, Mom, what do you mean? This is so messed up. And she was just like, please shut up, mija. That's what she said, basically.
Basically.
But I do agree with you, Elena. It's like, if you do these kind of twists with like no kind of building up along the way, that it just feels like the writer's room is just like, oh, what could be the craziest twist we can think of? No, we can just make it happen. And without any kind of justification, you're like, all right, I can't believe anything I really watch on screen.
Yeah, it's like I want to know that there's at least somewhat of a plan. Like I can forgive pacing issues. I can forgive, you know, some abrupt lines, like even very like sit down, lover. Like I'm like, I can forgive that if there is also in here some sort of indication that there's a longevity to this, like there's an overarching idea
method,
that you already have.
Method to the madness.
Yeah, that it's all going to tie in for something and not just like, well, let's see where this goes.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about Hiram, though, for a moment?
Please.
Everyone's reaction? Because why isn't everyone there with, like, firecrackers clapping? Why isn't everyone happy that he's almost dying? Why is Veronica truly sad? She should be like, thank God, can someone go in there and make sure he actually dies? Because it's still her dad.
It's still her dad. Like, she still loves him.
And, like, the serpents are all cheering. Like, they're all, like, chanting their own name as soon as they're like,
throwing a party.
You know? Yeah.
I'm so, like, Archie, oh, you think I did it? Archie, you should have done it, you dumbass.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the
breakup to me was a bit where I was like,
abrupt,
I'm sorry, your dad's been trying to kill him for so long that he had to go off in the woods and get attacked by a bear, so...
Yeah, I agree.
We're just gonna not say anything else at that point? Like, he's like, it's over, isn't it? I can tell by our pensive stares at each other. And I'm like, What? Like,
someone... needs. I'm shocked no one's protecting him. That is, I think, the writer's fault. There should be people protecting him to make sure he doesn't get killed in the hospital because he has so many enemies.
Yeah.
But everyone's just like, oh, he's so sad. What? I'm so confused.
Or shocked that he got shot. Like, this is like a shady guy. Like,
well, it's because I think, like, the whole thing, like, where his, even the line right before he gets shot, where he's like, that's how I stay alive, is staying one step ahead, is people just assume, like, he is ahead of whatever's happening. So, this was, like, the big psych out.
I thought my muscle mass would have stopped this bullet. It's not doing it.
Oh, my glass of whiskey did nothing.
So, real quickly, class president, class clown. Who is the best? Who's the class president for you this episode?
So,
who's the class clown?
What we do is, you know, we talk about our class president, our class clown. Who is the best? Who is the most idiotic? I will start.
Please.
Okay. So, I will say the most idiotic was Archie, because he was just straight up stupid. And he was not good at anything.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. And the class president, really struggling to find one right now. But I guess Hermione or FP, you know?
Yeah.
Or Hermione. She probably made it happen, yeah.
Oh, that's hard. I feel like a lot of people were messing up this episode.
Yeah.
A lot of people were making choices that I was like, what are you thinking? I would have said Jughead because of the rushing in during Fang's initiation to be like, hey, we're in the woods the whole time.
Bad.
And like, that seemed like, why are you doing this? This is a poor choice. But there didn't seem to be any ramifications for it. And the party alibi was a pretty good idea. So I would say probably Fang's.
All right.
For... one, being dragged into all of this for not stepping up himself when he's about to be branded, and also for just standing there sobbing over the dead body of Tallboy that you apparently accidentally killed, because this is complicating everything for the serpents.
Get it together,
Fred. And I'd say Fred is going to be...
President,
because he's like, you know, he's got that I'm taking no crap mentality, but he's also... being the rock there for his son, but also still aware of all the situation, making sure, you know, he's like, your room looks like a cell. Let me watch this and make sure that this doesn't go too off the rails.
Right.
He seems to be the only one who's aware of everything else that's going on.
I like that. Zach?
I feel like a lot of them deserved the class clown because they were all just a hot mess this episode. But I'm going to give mine to Tallboy. Just, it was just such a random fit, and he's just such a pawn that, like, he deserved to die at the end of this episode for, like, even falling for Hiram Lodge's, you know, crazy tactics. And my president is going to be FP because he was just giving me feels in that last scene. And I look forward to seeing what he does as the new sheriff. I just hope he doesn't get killed. And if he does get killed, I hope he gets brought back to life. Ideally by Sabrina.
Yeah. I'll go Claudius and FP. I'll go with that. Class president, FP, class clown, Claudius. What a dope. What a dope. What is he doing? Real quick before we wrap up, there's just one bit of news here. There is another pilot being greenlit by the CW here for that's going to spin off of Riverdale. It's Kitty Keene. It's a musical dramedy that follows the titular fashionista and her friends to New York City, where they strive to make it on Broadway, on the runway, and in the recording studio. So there you go. Get ready to possibly see that on your TV sets this fall.
Sounds awful.
Are we talking about Josie and the Pussycat spinoff? Like what?
No, it's just Kitty Keene. Some spinoff from maybe a character we have not yet met in Riverdale, but it's going to be a spinoff
from
Riverdale.
Sounds like a really bad Glee knockoff.
Let's just stop while we're ahead, guys. I don't know.
We have Riverdale. We have Sabrina. Like, let's not.
I don't know. I'll give it a chance. I'll check it out. I'll be on board.
There you go. All right, folks. That's going to do it for this episode of the Riverdale After Show. Look at this. Four people, we did it. We did it, guys.
Yeah.
Yes. As always, though, thank you, Josh.
It's Veronica's cousin, External Shock Wave 3. Kitty apparently is Veronica's cousin.
Ooh,
maybe
thank
that's
you.
The one that Reggie swiped right on. I got it. Yep.
That was a nice little Bumble plug this episode. Mm. Yeah. It's like Bumble in Riverdale, sure.
Why not?
At this point, I'm not shocked.
As always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and thanks everybody for hopping in the chat. Sam will be reading all this stuff later. She rewatches the episode again. That's true. But if you want to stay in touch with any of us, even after the show's over, Zach, where can they find you?
Hi, guys. I'm Zach Peter. You can follow me at Just Plain Zach on all the social medias.
I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan.
And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram and SamDavidsonEntertainment.com.
And you can find all of us on Bumble.
That's right. Yep. Swipe right for me, bro. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie, folks. That's going to do it for this episode of the Riverdale After Show. We'll be back next Wednesday night with an all-new episode right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.